starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior and Christ Jesus, our hope. Unto Timothy, my true child in faith, grace, mercy, peace, from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I exhorted thee to tarry at Ephesus when I was going into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine, neither to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questionings rather than a dispensation of God, which is in faith, so do I now. But the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned, from which things some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain talking, desiring to be teachers of the law, though they understand neither what they say, nor whereof they confidently affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. As knowing this, that law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and unruly, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for abusers of themselves with men, for men-stealers, for liars, for false swearers, and if there be any other thing contrary to the sound doctrine, according to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. This is one of the loveliest epistles in the New Testament, because it's one of those personal epistles. You know how many are written to congregations such as the Christians at Rome, at Corinth, at Galatia, but some epistles, and that is what makes them so human, are written to individuals. And Paul himself wrote to Philemon that brief letter, how beautiful. And at the same time, he wrote to Titus, and he also has written two epistles to Timothy. And we can thank God for all of them. This epistle is summed up, if you will look at chapter 3, verse 14. Look at 3:14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So this epistle is of such great importance, because it tells us how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, that is, among the people of God. And this epistle gives us ever so many facets of behavior and things that go on when God's people come together. Now, again, it is a beautiful epistle for this reason. It is an epistle written from a father to a son. Not this time like David to Absalom or David to Solomon, his son, but the Apostle Paul to his son in faith, Timothy. And this is what is so remarkable about Timothy, and this is what gives us hope when we cast our bread upon the waters, when we sow seed and know not what shall be the outcome of it. You'll find that Paul went to Derbe and Lystra the first time in Acts chapter 14 during his first missionary journey. And we read absolutely nothing about Timothy there. But when he comes back on his second missionary journey, Timothy is presented to us as an excellent disciple and a likely candidate to enter into the service of the Lord to go and assist the Apostle Paul and to minister with the Apostle Paul. Now, what is so important is this. You never know what is going to happen when you preach the Word of God. When you speak to a soul, he may be saved, and then later on, he may disappoint you. But think, here is Paul, who preaches the Word the first time at Lystra, and then when he comes back after his first missionary journey is ended and after the council at Jerusalem, he comes and he finds Timothy there. And we are not told in Acts 16 or Acts 14 that the Apostle Paul converted him. We are told particulars in these epistles, but we are not told anything about the particulars in Acts 14 or in Acts 16. But this is what happened. He writes to Timothy, my true child in faith. Now, I know it's different in the King James, but the word here is my true child in faith. So think of this. Here is one who preached the gospel, and while a church was formed, and no doubt those that were a part of that church carried on and loved the Lord Jesus and were faithful to him, and some would be unfaithful to him, but there was one who was outstanding, and that was Timothy. And this is worth all the work that Paul put into the church at Lystra, and it's worth all the painful stonings, even unto death, that he experienced, if one would be raised up of the caliber of Timothy that he loved so dearly. It's like this. He calls him here my true child. He calls him my beloved child, my dear child, my faithful child. And here is one to whom Paul preached, and he trusted Christ as Savior. He grew in grace and in the knowledge of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when Paul comes back, not with Paul's personal attention, but going on with his own strength, empowered by God, trained by those that were present at the church at Lystra, when Paul comes, they say, there's a man here. He is highly recommended. And Paul would have him to go with him to the faith. And afterwards, and this is what is so important, afterwards, not only could he go with Paul, but when Paul was so anxious about the church at Philippi, the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, and he himself of necessity must go elsewhere, he said, I can send Timothy to you. What he did was this. He would go, and what Paul would have told them had he been there personally, Timothy told them the same thing. This is what he said when he said he was going to send him to Corinth. He said, I want to send Timothy to you, who shall put you in remembrance of all my ways as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, that would be so good. If wherever there are troubled assemblies, there was someone who could send a person of the stature of Timothy who could go with authoritative or commands from one like the Apostle Paul and tell them what was right, what was the remedy for the troubled assemblies. Wouldn't that be excellent? I'm thinking even now of assemblies that we are familiar with and they are so troubled. But what happens is this so often. I've seen this. You go in, and if you preach the word in a general way, they will accept it. But if you were to go in and do what Paul exhorted Timothy to do, they would become indignant and say you were entirely out of place. But listen, he said, I exhorted you to tarry at Ephesus when I was going into Macedonia, that you might charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine, neither to give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Why, if someone from the outside were to come in and say, this is false doctrine that you're teaching, you're not to teach it anymore, And at the same time, the things that you are listening to, the things that you think are important, they are worthless. They are vain talking. And I want them to cease. You would say, by what authority do you do these things? Do you understand? But at this time, when apostles were around, the apostle himself could come, or he would send a delegate. As at times he sent Titus, at times he sent Timothy, and there were others, such as Aquila and Priscilla, and he would say, now you stay here and help that assembly. And I wish there were some around that were prepared to take the place of Timothy, that had his qualifications, that had the confidence of a man like Paul, who could go and minister to the needs of those that find themselves in difficulty and they do not know how to extricate themselves. This is what I mean. At times, women are angry with one another and they can't settle it themselves. But at Philippi, Paul says, true yoke fellow, I beseech that you try to help these women, Euodias and Syntyche. They help me so much. Now, they're at enmity with one another. True yoke fellow, help these women. At times, you can't bring yourself to say, I was wrong, and apologize. And the other person can't say, I was wrong, and apologize. But if you get one like Luke or Timothy that comes and says, I hear that there are disagreements between you two. Yes. Well, I want to hear about these disagreements, but I know this, that God doesn't want the sun to go down on your anger, and I think you two should be reconciled, because God doesn't want us to hate our neighbor. He wants us to love one another. Little children, love one another. And this is why Timothy was so important to the Apostle Paul. I'm just giving you that background because you'll find that he wanted to send him to Ephesus, to Corinth, to Philippi. There were ever so many areas in which Paul could trust Timothy when he himself was in prison and could not go. When he himself was old and was about to be put to death, he could not go. He had to have someone whom he had personally trained, who knew apostolic doctrine, who would go and faithfully care for the people of God. Now that is why this epistle is one of such beauty and of such value and is so dear to our hearts, because it is a father in the faith who has preached the word of God and has won a son. And this is what he calls him, my true son. Let me tell you about that. It speaks here about faith unfeigned, and it speaks in Hebrews about, then are ye bastards and not sons. There are those who at first you think are sons, and then they prove to be false. There are those that Ananias and Sapphira. Think for a while now. Here is Aquila and Priscilla. Here is Ananias and Sapphira. This couple and this couple. And you look at them and it seems as if both of them are fine couples. But Aquila and Priscilla turn out to be true, genuine, trustworthy couple. Whereas Ananias and Sapphira both turn out to be covetous and liars. And the judgment of God falls upon them. And no doubt, the Apostle Paul speaks about false brethren, and some with whom he had so much association, like Demas. He speaks about Demas and his association with him. But at the last he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world, and hath gone to Thessalonica. How disappointing. But he can write to Timothy to the last, and he can depend on him to preach the word, to run errands for him, to do whatever is needed. And that's why this epistle is so lovely. And this comes to mind. I do not know of anyone that I have led to the Lord that has turned out to be my son, but I know of ever so many younger men, and some older ones as well, that come and seek teaching from me. And in that sense, even though someone else gets the credit for leading them to the Lord, I wish I did, still, they speak about you as their spiritual father, And there is that relationship between Paul and Timothy, between me and them, and it is delightful. Because Paul found Timothy a faithful man to whom he could entrust the truths of God. The things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Paul was able to take Timothy as a faithful man, teach him all of these truths that are in 1st and 2nd Timothy, all of these doctrines that he wanted spread, and he's with him for so many years. He is a faithful man, and now he says, Timothy, I want you to teach these same things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. And so in that sense, I have sons. I wish I were a soul winner, but God has made me a Bible teacher, one that teaches the Word. And for that reason, I can understand. And here is what I never knew, and I saw this resemblance when I was thinking about it. I told you about Paul going to Lystra and preaching the Word, and he did not know what effect it was going to have. Here is one on that first missionary journey that hears the Word, and he's saved. But then when he comes back, what a change has been made. And I'm thinking of one, and I shan't, yes, I just as soon mention it, David Harper. I've known him off and on for years, but as a teenager, I knew him in Michigan, and then as a teenager, he and his whole family came to our house one time, and then he was in the service over at Fort Bragg, and he would come over here on the weekend, and I would study with him, I would encourage him, teach him the Word as much as I could. And I didn't know what effect that was going to have. But now, instead of his staying in my house, I go a month at a time and stay in his house. And what has happened is that this assistance that I gave, a teenager, and then a young man in the service, has been rewarding. And I think of Joe Gumbel, and Anderson and Walt Ballou, all of these servicemen that have come and have learned the Word of God, and now they look upon me as a father, and I rejoice in that. So even though you have children, and of course your children are dear to you after the flesh, at the same time, there is not only the area of flesh, but notice what he says, my true child in faith. There is the area of faith as well as the area of flesh and blood. And one of them can be as dear as the other for this reason. Many times your children of flesh and blood will hurt you. And there are others who are more faithful than your own flesh and blood. There comes to mind Samuel. Here is Eli, the high priest, and his sons Hophni and Phinehas, his own flesh and blood. They disgrace their father. They shame their father. They grieve their father. And little Samuel comes to stay with Eli, and he turns out to be the son that Eli wished that he had had according to flesh. But he didn't. And so Eli was his spiritual guardian, and he trained him in the things of God, and it said, Samuel, let none of these words fall to the ground. So this is the encouragement. It may be that you teach ever so many people, and some of them will never amount to anything. But there may be a few that are faithful men. And the kindness, the attention that you showed them years ago, you don't realize it. But they think back and they say, this is what I want to do. The things that I heard were true, and I want to dedicate my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you. You sisters in Christ, speak to other women, to younger sisters, and be mothers, my child, in faith. That's what you can do. And let them be able to come to you and be taught by you and at the same time love you, because many times their own flesh and blood cast them out. This is what happened in John 9. That blind man who stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ, when he did, it says, the Pharisees cast him out. But it said, Jesus found him. So when your own flesh and blood cast you out, remember that the Lord Jesus said, if you follow me, you'll have 100-fold fathers and mothers. What does it mean? It means that I should be able to go to every city where there are Christians, and the older one should be a father and a mother to me. And at the same time, you should be able to come to me if you are younger than I, and I could be to you a father and my wife a mother to you. And this is what Paul was to Timothy for this reason. He had had no father that cared anything about him. His mother had made a mistake in marrying this heathen in the first place. She had married a Greek. And this Greek had neglected or had insisted, it may have been, as in the case of Moses. Moses' wife, Zipporah, refused to let Moses circumcise his child. And now, whatever the reason, Timothy is a full-grown man. And his father had never circumcised him, and his mother had never seen to it that he was circumcised, and Paul had to see to it that he was circumcised. This is the sad thing. And now, what father do you think Timothy loved more? His father, according to the flesh, or Paul, his father in faith? You say, I'm afraid that he loved Paul more. Well, those are the friendships that can be formed in faith. And that's what I pray for. I love you, and you love me, but just as there are some that you're closer to than others, you can't help that. There are some people that you're more inclined to associate with. That's fine. But not everyone is a David and a Jonathan, and not everyone is a Paul and a Timothy. I know some older men that work with younger men, and these younger men have said they are terrors. And I know some older men that work with younger men, and they're not like Paul and Timothy. I remember one that was such a scoundrel, I can't help but laugh, but this younger man was going with this older man to the conference, and the older brother said, now, what are you going to preach when you get to that conference? And the young man told him his sermon that he was going to preach, and the old scoundrel got up first and preached the young man's sermon. What kind of father is that? What kind of help is that? But the Apostle Paul was one who would not take from Timothy, who would not embarrass him and humiliate him, but he was one who constantly encouraged him, and he sent encouragement about Timothy. He told the other assemblies, he said, now, you see to it that Timothy be in your midst without fear. So that is my encouragement to you. Preach the Word of God. You never know when someone to whom you preach may turn out to be a Timothy, a Titus, a Silas. Preach the Word of God, and God's Word is a reward by bringing forth spiritual children. All right, just a little bit. Let's look at the introduction. I can tell you more as we go along, rather than give you a formal, slow introduction telling you when it was written, where, and so forth. What we'll do is touch on these things as we go along. But it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior, and Christ Jesus our hope. Unto Timothy, my true child in faith. Now, isn't this a strange way for one who is writing a personal letter to a dear son, a true child in faith? Isn't this a strange way to start it out? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. No, I thank God for it. Because if someone were telling me what to do, if I were going to do something that I did not feel inclined to do, I would ask Paul what the Savior was asked when he was in the temple. On an occasion, as the Lord was teaching in the temple, the authorities came to him and said, we want to know by what authority you do these things. Now the Lord Jesus had told them that he came down from the Father, that God sent him. He didn't come of his own will, but the Father sent him. But here he said, I'll ask you a question, and then I'll tell you, if you'll answer my question, by what authority I do these things. But the authority of the Son was the Father. And now, the Apostle Paul says, I am an apostle of Christ Jesus. By whose authority? According to whose commandment? According to the commandment of God our Savior and Christ Jesus our hope. Notice how the Father and the Son are associated together. What blasphemy it would be if the Lord Jesus were not God the Son, to say that he is an apostle according to the commandment of God our Savior and Christ Jesus, our hope. But the Lord Jesus is spoken of here in a way and throughout this epistle as being one who is equal with the Father. This we shall see when we get to 3:16. But here, and this is what is so interesting, remember this note, it says God our Savior and Christ Jesus our hope. When you read these pastoral epistles, three times God is called Savior in the first epistle of Timothy. The Son is never called Savior. In the second epistle to Timothy, the Savior, the Lord, Jesus, is called Savior one time, and the Father is not called Savior. But in Titus, three times God the Father is called Savior, and immediately after, the Son is called Savior as well. Just something to be noticed, that in the first epistle, God the Father is the Savior. In the second epistle, the Lord Jesus is Savior. And in Titus, you'll find that the Father and Son are both called Savior. And these designations are interchangeable only because of the oneness, and at the same time, the Lord Jesus said, men are to honor the Son even as they honor the Father. The Father has no power to save sinners apart from the Son, the Lord Jesus. God, our Savior, how did he save us? Through the Lord Jesus. Who is the Savior? The Lord Jesus who died on the cross, who effected the work. But the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So as to the origin of salvation, it is the Father. As to the effector of salvation, it is the Son. But in this first epistle, it is God the Father who is spoken of as the Savior. And Paul is an apostle according to their authority. By what authority do you tell me how to behave and tell me as a woman what I should do and what I cannot do? And tell me that I cannot be an elder or that I can be an elder. He says, I tell you, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, and Christ Jesus, our hope. And this is what Paul demands that people acknowledge. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandment of the Lord. And he is not an inferior apostle. But he is an apostle, the same as Peter, Andrew, James, and John, the 12, other than not being one of the 12, but being one of equal rank with them, and being given special revelations that we are not told that the other apostles received directly from the Lord Jesus, as the apostle Paul did. So what an encouragement to Timothy. Paul could say, I'm your father in the faith, but at the same time, so often a prophet is not without honor save in his own household and in his own country. But here the apostle is telling Timothy, yes, I'm your father, you're my dear child, you're my genuine child, but I want you to know that I am an apostle according to the commandment of God our Savior and Christ Jesus our hope. He's going to need that. And I'm thinking this, that while this is a personal letter that is sent to Timothy, if you had to go and do the things that Paul commands Timothy to do in this first epistle, someone is liable to challenge you. How do I know that Paul told you to teach these things? How do I know that Paul gave you authority to come here and take all of this authority? Timothy could produce the letter and say, here, this is what he told me. And for that reason, if a man said, so I drink too much wine, that doesn't disqualify me. Oh yes, an elder cannot be given to much wine. So I've been divorced and remarried. An elder must be the husband of one wife. So I'm not able to teach the word. I'm sorry, but it says an elder must be apt to teach, because you'll find that an elder and a bishop and also a pastor are interchangeable terms. And so Timothy, armed with these written words, would not have to go and stand before an assembly and say, Paul authorized me to come, and this is what he told me to say. They would say, we think that you're stretching what he told you to say. We think that you're overstepping your bounds. Well, Timothy could produce this epistle and show them the things that Paul told him to teach. Who is Paul? He is an apostle of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are the ones who commanded him. They are the ones who ordained him as an apostle. And so this is the introduction. And since the time is gone, we're going to stop. Read it through many times, and Lord willing, we'll cover as much ground as we can. Let us pray.